the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If He has said it, it is true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sito keto, moti kate, rito kopoto keta, zudeke ponde kidede. Christianity is a display of divine essence, true men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need, it will bring to you the people you need, it will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
The depths of the sea.
From the heights of all heaven,
oh, your name be praised. Hey, from the hearts of the weak,
from the shouts of the strong,
from the lips of all people. Come on, everybody, this song.
Worship Him all over this place. Just give Him glory. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you made a way. When our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. Jesus, now we stand. Give Jesus praise that He made a way for you. When people counted you out, if He made a way, come on, give Him glory. When people gave up on you, if He made a way, give Him glory. Come on, somebody, show. Come on, show. Hey, with your power, you perform me. There is nothing
Hey, that's impossible. Now we're standing. Only because. Come on, give him praise one more time. Celebrate him. He's worthy, he's worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You're in for a glorious time this morning. Let me explain something to you. So you must leave here with something definite. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may have your seat this morning. I'd like to appreciate the senior pastor and his dear wife. Oh, my cousin. Cousin, right, or niece. She's the mother of my cousin. That is my auntie. Ina. Hallelujah. She's the mother of my beautiful niece, called Shanice. Hallelujah. I mean, that girl is always on my mind. The boy that will come and meet that girl later, eh? You know, that, like Jesus said, your righteousness must supersede that of a Pharisee. His love and his hope delivery must supersede my own. And if you know me, he has work to do. Hallelujah. How, where is he going to start the hope from? Can he speak English? From the cross, so. Abba has to embrace Jesus early on. He has to have track record of fire. And faith receipts. God, we cannot give her to somebody that is talking flesh all over the town. Hallelujah. Praise God. As usual, Pastor has gone to receive for us. I mean, we spoke which day? Boy, I'm sweating. We spoke on Thursday, right? It was in Lagos then. And then he told me things that were doing wah, 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 wah in my ear. I mean, one young pastor went and bought land of property of 2 billion naira in Lagos. He's a young minister. By 5 years in ministry, they bought a property that was $1 million. And they were struggling to pay 3,000 for venue when they started. 5 years later, $1 million property. Let me tell you something. If you came to service this morning, you are going back expanded. See, my angels are everywhere in service this morning. Because, you see, like I said, I don't have so many. I'm not taking serious. This is not serious for you. So what you do for me, brace yourself for impact. You know how they say it? When impact is inevitable. Let's say there's an inbound missile. They advise everybody to brace for impact. You hold something. Hallelujah. Brace for impact. I'm going to be teaching this morning on going to the uncomfortable place. Going to the uncomfortable place. I'm literally going to kick you by the special grace of God and by the workings of the Spirit out of your comfort zone. Because miracles exist only in the uncomfortable place. Because the comfort you've been enjoying since, what has it given you? Every little thing, can somebody just rest a little bit more? You can't rest. Just forget about it. Those of you that are pursuing happiness, there's no happiness anywhere. There's only exploit upon exploit upon exploit. That is the only place you'll be fulfilled. So for my young ladies who are getting ready to marry a man with Jeep right now, without any, you must get Jeep. Look, as a brother, either collect your baby because of Jeep, get your own. Don't come and cry and say, now nah, girl is materialistic before. Let me explain something to you. You are made as a man from the earth. A woman was made from your rib. Does that look alike to you? Do they? Oh, come on, shout, sisters. I just set you free now, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. So by design, by configuration, they should enjoy things that are finished. can't be dragging somebody's daughter into romance. Hallelujah. Don't go and be dragging someone's daughter into raw materials. Oh, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure my sisters there, they are bright enough to know when there's a finished material in the process. You understand what I'm talking about, right? So we are not saying everything is physical. When we are discussing finished materials, some of them are spiritual finished materials. Without Jeep in my hand, you know I'm a finished material. Lagebo shaga lagababaya. Manteko brakatila gabaya lagababa de gebosa. Listen, today's teaching, I'll be teaching and speaking in tongues in between. So that we can actually push the thing inside. Pretty fast. Manpelika puleko shaga labaya. Some of you are literally kicked out of your place to another place. Get ready to leave the familiar zone. You don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need it. Man, let me start from Genesis. Now I'm going to teach the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Yes, we may end tomorrow. Just hold on tight. Hallelujah. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, light be, light was. Genesis 1. Those of you that don't know where I'm reading from. Genesis 1, 1 to 3. I wonder why you would not know at this age. Hallelujah. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. Image to look like us, likeness to behave like us. That means God's attitude towards darkness should be your same attitude towards darkness. Because you are made in his likeness. That was the original idea. Man was designed to live from inside out, not outside in. But you see, something happened in chapter 3. Bible says, now the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals, all the beasts of the earth. Deceived Eve. Eve collected. They said, apple, right? Chopped the apple, gave the apple to the husband. And then, the next thing we heard was God was talking. They were not relating spiritually anymore. They were afraid. From that day, man began to find comfort in the flesh. Are you following? Man started finding comfort. We started relating more with the things we can see with our eyes. Along the line, people were mixing it up. Some would they would delve into the spirit realm and come back here and there. But as time went on, mankind lost it completely. They lost touch. Hallelujah. With the spirit realm. So it became difficult for God to communicate with man. Why? Because the medium through which God is spirit, and it is where he speaks, spirit. What he says is spirit. The Bible says, God is spirit. He no longer relates to spiritual things. It became difficult to comprehend spiritual things. When God was speaking, men did not understand anymore. And Satan lured man, played win man. The flesh. How many of you know that Satan cannot win you in the spirit? How now? In the spirit, he can't win you. You know, I've come to a point where I prefer spiritual battle to physical battle. You know why? Because it's easier to win. Are you following? So for those of you that are afraid of witchcraft, my news to you is that it's easier to beat witchcraft than thieves. Yes. You know why? Because the moment they say it's witchcraft, they have drawn it into the spirit. Our theater of winning. It's like when Barcelona drags any team to Camp Nou. By the time they drag you to that place, they will do you anyhow. Hallelujah. So when Satan is dumb enough to take any battle to the spirit realm, he has lost it completely. So the best place he can stay is spiritual things look difficult and carnal things easier. Listen this morning. The uncomfortable place is not a difficult place. It's just unfamiliar. It's not difficult. How many of you have noticed that when you are trying to do some things in your life, it's like How do I even start? It's like praying in the Holy Ghost. Do it first. You know, I made a decision recently, very critical decision, to do something I left before. It was the most difficult thing for me to start. But right now, I'm in autophase. I'm enjoying it. Hallelujah. I'm literally enjoying it. You know why? Because there's a principle called desire follows attention. Write that down. You will need this for the rest of your life as a married man and as a married woman. Your desire will always follow your attention. So you marry your wife. She's everything you dreamt of. I mean, everything is in place. Boy. Hey, tell your friends, man, I don't hammer. I don't got me a wife. And the wife is good. And then suddenly you find out she can't even cook that good. Well, look at her. Her legs bent around the mid. Why is her mouth trying to bend when she's praying? Before. Will your mouth not bend when you are praying? But why are those things coming? Because you are getting closer. You are knowing people better. And then those frictions are coming up. And then suddenly, your desire is attacked. She's no longer as gorgeous as she thought she was. At that time, your best bet is to turn your attention on her. On him. And you find out, because it's proven, you find out that your desire will begin to be rekindled again. Hallelujah. And now this is true for every endeavor in life. I was talking to somebody before recently. I said, when it comes to being committed to a work, let's say ministry, so on and so forth, initially you are so excited. I mean, this ministry is teaching me everything, I'm growing very fast. Then suddenly your desire plateaus. Sometimes it starts to decline. And then at that time, the first thing that comes to mind is that maybe I should change where I am. And on that day, you will know that you have made the most foolish decision ever. Because the question I asked is, so after you change this one, and you are tired, you have to change again. Now you have a family. You have to be changing your children's church. You know what you are teaching them? Inconsistency. And inconsistency lies the power. If anybody can do anything long enough, they'll be known for it. The only problem is that people just have stints at things here and there. They will not stay on one thing and get it done. Hallelujah. They will not stay on it. Why? Because it's not looking very nice. In the middle of nowhere, that is no longer sweetening me again. So let's change. It's time to get a new job. Augusta, they have made the job work. Hallelujah. Because one of these days, it will transpose to your marriage. You think it's time to change the girl. And the Bible says you can't change the girl. Amen. What will you do then? Frustrate her? Hallelujah. You see, everything we do in life has a way of connecting to another part of our lives. Most of them are generic. You start something here. No. Learn it. It might be the most difficult thing you will do in life. But learn it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let me not go off track, what I have to do today. I mean, I have something written down. I preached me a good sermon to myself. So I thought I'll share it with you. Amen. Yes. So man became more physical. It became more appealing to do things that are comfortable in the flesh. So that every time God tells you to do anything, it's actually a call into the uncomfortable. Hallelujah. I mean, look at Abraham, for example. What was his case? That man was a country boy. Stayed in his father's house at 75. 75. My God. I'm not sure he had his own business. What can be more irresponsible than that? 75 years he was staying in his father's house. The Bible says, now the Lord has told Abraham. It means it's not today. God had told him before, leave. The guy was comfortable in his father's house. The only reason why it was difficult for him to leave when God first told him is because And everybody told him, let's stay together now. All we have is each other. And that's all poor people always have. Each other. He said, you know, all we have is each other. Let's not leave the house. Let's stay together. The father said, you know, the way you are helping me in this business, it will help everybody. Please don't stay together. So, and then we are staying together. Your cousin can have a say in your life. Everybody is happy with you. Let me explain something to you. The moment you are doing things that everybody is happy with, just know that you are getting everybody's results. And you already know what everybody's results is, the masses. You know what it is. The moment everybody carries placard, even if you are not there, they are just representing you. And going to the uncomfortable place has a major limitation. People, you know why? Because it's not because people love you and they don't even understand what love is. In an attempt to think they love you, they want you to stay with them. They want you to stay with them. I mean, why can't we just stay together in this place and just do this work together? Where are you going? Where are you going? Why are you going to where you are going? Can't you just stay? Why? Because everybody is even uncomfortable with you going to the uncomfortable place. Every time you make a decision to take the road less traveled, people are uncomfortable. You know why? Because human beings by nature put themselves in people's shoes. That's why a person will be, somebody bought somebody a jet. They say, he doesn't have business with that kind of thing now. It's not their money. It's not their resources. It's not their mind that conceived it. But vicariously, they are thinking people's pockets are suffering. Dr. B. Winston went to buy gas one day and he said, fill the car. They filled the car. He said, fill the other person's car. They filled plenty of people's car. One other man that was in a car, in a cab, that he said, that's too much. It's not his money. But the moment he started filling those cars, the man already thought it was him. It was the same person that his father came to his hostel. Okay, he was staying off campus. Then he made a band for himself and bought himself a Corvette. Nice car. Then the father came to visit unannounced. He was like, whose car is that? He said, which one? He said, the red car. He said, sir, it's mine. And the father started shouting. The father could not even stand. He left. He was very angry. You are angry that your son was reasonable enough to buy himself a car. Why? Because he transferred the pressure to himself. People normally transfer the pressure of your progress to themselves. And that is why they resist you. So please take it a little easy with people who don't understand you. All they are doing is that they are transferring the pressure of progress to themselves. Transferring it. So they go like, oh boy, what must he be going through now? Who must he be going through now? Doesn't he know that people will look down on him? Why? Because I'll share later, the two enemies of progress are fear of failure and the failure itself. Because nobody wants to put his tail between his thighs and come back and say, I've missed it. So everybody is thinking he's going to fail. He's going to fail. He's going to fail. Somebody sent me a message one day. He said, what on earth can compare to your career in medicine? My classmate. He said, what on earth? He said, I pray that God will give you understanding. I say, amen. Amen to your prayers. You know what he did? He transferred the pressure to himself. I'm the one bearing the pressure. Leave me. That is why your true friends are those who are able to kick you out. They know, you know why? Because their true trust in you is that I know that you'll be able to bear under anything. You were designed to be elastic. Amen. Some people will come around and say, you don't have any business spending that kind of money. Why would you give church money like that? I don't understand what you're saying. One day, my dad called me. Now, my dad taught me giving. That man is crazy. I mean, the things he does, I'm like, no, just don't do it. Don't try this at home. Wherever you are, wherever you live. It's like wrestling. My father will have family, all of us about to return to school on Monday, the 5th of January. And then he will give all his money in his account on the Sunday before the Monday. And then he'll go and stand on the road to look for lifts because there's even no fuel. I mean, that kind of rascality. But man, strange things happen for that man. I'm telling you. I mean, look at us. It's strange. Praise God. One day he called me. He said, I heard God is blessing you now. I said, yes, sir. God is blessing me exceedingly. Let me send you money for lunch. He said, okay, no problem. I'll send you money. I said, I'll send you 5K. He abused me. That means I think all of us are in the university. And I said, it's not like that, sir. Amen. But then he called me one day. He said, I don't know how he picked this in the spirit. He said, I hope you are not giving all your money to church. And on that day, I and Reverend K were going to clear my account in GT. We're on the way. I don't need British. I said, Daddy, that's exactly where I'm on my way to. He said, no, you have to be wise. You know what? It's because he loves me and he's transferring the pressure of not having to himself. So I said, sir, we're exactly on our way to the place now. You know how Reverend K is now. He grabs you, you can't jump him. You grab you by the hand, let's go and get the money out. Hallelujah. So we went there and we got the money out. So I called him later. I said, Daddy, you know how it is. God gave me this money. So it's no big deal for him. There's more where it came from. Once you have that attitude, you will remain at square zero. Amen. But there's more where it came from. I mean, it's gold-plated street. Oh, no. Gold-made street. So it will be a big shame on your mind the day that jets become like handsets. Because there are some of you that cannot handle it. I and one girl argued on Facebook. I had their time that night too. I said 3 a.m. You know, I used to answer all those jets nonsense. That one, I answered them. Because they're talking rubbish. She said, why would the ministry have 5 jets? I said, why do you have more than 5 shoes, ma'am? She said, is jets and shoes the same? I said, yes. Because as you are wearing those shoes, there are those that don't have any shoes to wear. So she said, I know that I cannot convince you. I said, please don't go. She said, she'll be quiet now. I said, that would have been the wise thing to do from the beginning. Don't get yourself meddled up in things you don't understand. You didn't give 1 naira for that jet. Yet you think people are squandering money. One young man said that, you know, we have to be careful what the will of the Lord is, that the Mother Teresa have jets before he reached the world. I say, are you sure it was not God's will for her to have jets? You are not the one that detects God's will, Abby. It's amazing how people think God's will is poverty. And it's Christian, so Jewish people don't subscribe to that ideology at all. Anything poverty is cause. They don't cross the lines. Amen. So please, if you came here with that ideology of why are they even driving jets, you are looking at one that will drive, that will ride, fly some. So you know what you do? Come and beat me. Amen. Why? Because you think jet is what is on God's mind now. Is he aware? In your mind, you think every day God wakes up, why are these people flying jets today? Why are they flying jets today? Why are they flying jets today? Why would they not give the money to the poor? Why is God not giving the money to the poor and there's gold on the street? So by the time you start turning your moral compass, turn it to God first. Accuse him. Stand before the Lord and say, God, why are you like this? There are poor people on the earth, and then you are lavishing gold and pearls and rubies and onyx in this place. Repent. Why is that so? People are comfortable in their level of thinking. I told the boy, I said, don't drag God into your small mind, please. Keep you and your family problems to yourself. Amen. Why? Because you don't know what these men flying these jets are doing. The boy spoke foolishness and I answered him. He said, what about Rehoboam? I said, listen to me. The highest givers of Rehoboam, I know them. Currently, Citation 10, one of Kenneth Copeland's Citation 10, is what he uses now. Papa Copeland, he said, can I use it? He said, why do I have jets? It's for preaching. So the people that are criticizing Papa Copeland and making and canonizing Papa Ray and Bonky, they don't even know their union. Why? Because big people don't argue up there. You are the grass and the two elephants are fighting on. Or God grow and become an elephant. Are you to start fighting? What's wrong with you? You are here arguing which one is the will of God. Which one is not the will of God. The other one is giving. I'm a partner with Kenneth Copeland and I watched the partnership series where Rehan Bonnke came and spoke. He said, of all the souls I've won, the lion's share belongs to Kenneth Copeland and his partners. You are here. On the ground, you say, no, you are subscribing to poverty. Why is Papa Rehan Bonnke's meeting free of charge? People are paying. And the people that are paying are the people you are criticizing in your foolishness. Grow up! Come on, remove the diapers and just grow. We are not here. I'm not here to pity you. You are too young to be pitied. If we don't correct this nonsense now, you will grow up and become Daddy Freeze or something. Why is giving a problem? Why? Why? The last time you gave, regardless of how small it was, you felt better. Quote me wrong. You felt better. Why would somebody tell you not to feel better and you agree? It will get better. Hallelujah. So knock yourself off that ideology. And the truth is even those that were on the borderline before, once they found the comfort zone, they would tip into it. The moment that the freeze came up, they just entered into the comfort zone. They were waiting for confirmation of their illegality. Hallelujah. So please make up your mind to change your level regardless of what it will cost. You know, God told Joseph to plant certain things and he says it's impossible, it's doable. It's impossible, but it's doable. Yes, hallelujah. Because, I mean, look at it in the natural. The things that were enigmas to the world in medical science, so on and so forth, they are being cracked daily. Every day, people are cracking it. You know, the way Africa is designed, they just bring the finished products to us. They say, oh, they are doing US aid. They'll bring it to us. Multilateral, bilateral corporations will come. They say, oh, let's help the poor people. That's what they kept telling Africa until Africa absorbed it and we swallow up with it. So that they were even accusing Trump that Trump did not put us on his agenda. You call yourself an independent nation. You say they didn't put you on their agenda. You see where this is going, right? He didn't put us in his agenda. He didn't even mention Africa. That man is helping you. Hallelujah. Amen. Africans were every little thing. Do you know that they say they discovered Africa? People were living, they say they discovered them. You were I discovered Pastor Peter. He didn't know himself. I just came and discovered him now. And I said, this is Pastor Peter, I'll describe him. That he was discovered in 1954. How? How do you meet the people who are living, alive, human beings, and then you discover them? But what do? We embrace it. We sit down and go like, okay, well, they should hand me something now. Why am I saying this? People are making progress every day because they are in the productive circle. We are in the consumer. So a young man, I remember one of my classmates then, he said he discovered something. They said, shut up. And if I advise somebody, one guy was trying to be academically conscious on the level. He said that this chemistry practical, that he saw another color. I said, record the color that is in the book. Even though you're about to fail. You are thinking you saw another color. Copper's of a blue. It is blue forever. Even if the reagents are old and it's turning brown, it is Otherwise, you fail. Senu, you discovered something. You didn't discover anything. Why? Because society does not support you discovering anything until you kick yourself to the uncomfortable place. The only place where society does not have influence on you is in the uncomfortable place. And the proof is that they will fight you. That is the proof. Listen, I know a young man. I was sharing with, I think, Mr. Esther. She was asking me a few questions recently. A young man, he's currently hiring for a tech company he started called HireWire. It's like his third company. When he was a young guy, he was in the university. In 300 level, he went to do his IT, I think in Canada also, like an internship program. He was with a marketing firm, and he had this proclivity towards marketing. So he loved it. He stayed back, and then he didn't want to go back to school. He wanted to just perfect the trade in marketing. Everybody stood up. Parents were like, you can't do that. In fact, they had problems. They didn't even talk for a while. Then after a while, he became very successful. I think he was taking about $25,000 every month. He was 23 years old. You know, and then, so a time came, he felt like, okay, it's time to start his own company. So he approached his parents. They are now friends because he's making lots of money now. And everybody, yeah, I'm saying, I want to quit my job and start a new company. They say, what? Are you mad? How would you leave a high-paying job like this? And the moment they said, I knew it was the right thing to do. Because this has happened before. They fought him before. He saw success. Now that they are fighting him, it's a confirmation that success is in the corner. Many times, the confrontations you receive is just is a litmus test. It's attesting to the fact that you are about to make progress. You are going to the uncomfortable place. People will not be comfortable. Even you will not be comfortable. I mean, I made some drastic decisions in 500 level. Even me, I knew I was stupid. I said, boy, you are stupid. I told myself, you are stupid. But let's see how the end of this stupidity will be. Amen. So while everybody was reading in class, reading, I went and got me a worldview. So that if I start anything now, I see it in the light of the globe. So you can scramble for anything you want to scramble for. I see it in light of the whole world. I told her, I said, if me and you start a company, I will subdue Jaws before you. You know why? Because Jaws is not even on the map of what I read. So it becomes like a laboratory. Are you getting me this morning? Some of you need to literally hold your brain and take it out. Amen. The whole world, people are disrupting things here and there, and you are the one that is disrupted. They say positioning. I like, you know, the very first phrase or clause I disagreed with was the way you dress is the way you are dressed. I didn't like it. I did not like it at all. Because my first problem is, how come you are judging me by the way I look? How is that real? The way you dress is the way you are dressed. And they are still holding file with the dressing. And then boys are wearing combat shorts to go and get jobs that 10 years they can't get the salary for 1 month. You know why? Because while you are trying to become something, you are trying to earn something, somebody is becoming something. With who you are, you can always have anything you want. As a matter of fact, everything you have now is a reflection of who you are. So if you are not satisfied, go and change who you are inside. Go stay with God's word. Go stay with right materials and change the pictures inside. Some of you have very dagularized pictures in your mind. Mix up. Everything is... What are they saying now? Is there a job in Maiduguri? Let's go to Maiduguri. Is there a job in Enugu? Everybody, let's go to Enugu. Enugu is where it's happening now. It is not happening in Enugu. It's happening in you. Go inside. Lock yourself. Many of you have never, till this day, you've never had a time for yourself where you discovered your own self. That's why people are discovering you. They're giving you identity. You have not sat down in that quiet, lonely room where everybody's writing you off, and then you discover who you are, what you're here for. Like I said, it's going to be very lonely. 2014, 15, 16 were lonely years for me. Lonely years. Lonely years. I would lie down on my bed, tears would be coming down, I'm not even crying. While I was in that lonely place, people were misunderstanding me in the public. And it was okay. I went to school the other day and a consultant said, I say, I hear you make money. I say, yes, sir. What else do you do apart from practice, sir? I asked him. He said, wow. He said, wow. He said, well, I'm excelling in what I do and I like him. He told me, I'm not lying, a consultant. I said, sir, what else do you do apart from this practice? Because it must be tough. Economy is unstable here and there. What else do you do? You are too gifted. Amen. You know why? Because the news I went before was, I'm not serious. The news that is going now is I'm making money. Yeah. I'm sure there are consultants that will advise me against taking a job. They say, don't come and work in this place. So they will tell me. And if I want to work there, I will work there. You know why? Because at this phase, it's not whether I'm working or not working. The important thing is I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm doing them deliberately. Listen to me. When you are born, you look like your father. When you are dying, you look like your decisions. Take time to sink it in. When you are born, you are looking like your father or your mother. When you are dying, you'll be looking like your decisions. How many people look at Papa Billy Graham? Does he look like his father? Does he look like his father? He looks like the string of decisions he has made in his lifetime. That's why you don't come and say, well, my uncle saying I have to travel to the UK. I knew God was telling me to stay in Nigeria. But you know the way it is now. My uncle told me, and the way my uncle is, they all have influence on my life. And that decision they are making is for you to go and do PhD. That means you have done first degree, you've done master's, and uncle is telling you where to do PhD. Covered. Very discovered. Make up your mind. And those are the practical steps I'm going to go into now. Make up your mind. I mean, allow God to paint pictures in your heart, whether they are possible or impossible. The power of God is in the world right now to create anything you believe for. Amen. So if you are believing God for a kulikuli, there's power to create kulikuli. If you are believing God for a jet, there's the same power on earth to produce a jet. The question is not with the power of God, it's with what are you believing? What can you see? What can you see? So everything the devil has been doing in your life, in your family, is to mess up your vision. Why were you born into a home that was rife with lots of financial struggle? The poverty is not really the absence of the money. It's that the devil had your mind in mind. He wanted to mess your visions up. That's why the major problem with poor people is not even the lack of money. Many of them, they revile the rich. They don't like them. And what you hate, you can't have. So an average man from an average or a poor background thinks anybody who is rich must be doing something to get rich. Before you know, he has resentment towards the person. Number one. Number two, vision. You grew up and all you saw was lack. Well, buy me bike, daddy. They don't grow money on the tree. Wait. This. And it's now you're hearing this. Don't tell your children nonsense. You know what you do? You know what you do for me? Learn now at this age to transfer pressures to the Lord. So that when they ask you for anything, you step aside and begin to see the capacity of your God to supply. That way you can teach them and say, son, you know how to get anything, right? Yes. You give him $10. Say, with this $10, sow seed and go and pray in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because faith is a legacy. Remember the woman, the widow? Can you remember the widow that was owing money? The wife of the man of God. I said, what do you have in your hands? He said, nothing. And poverty will make you trivialize the things you have. You can't even see the potential of that thing. You know why? Because God doesn't look at things as they are, but as they shall be. So also put on the eyes of God and don't look at things as they are. You hear stories that people started multi-million companies with small things. Why? Because they transferred their vision from what they could see. They got rid of poverty. What did she do? He said, go and borrow vessels, borrow not a few. What did she do? She didn't borrow it alone. She called her children inside, locked the door. In other words, children, look at what I'm doing. This is how supply comes. Let me tell you, none of those children that were supposed to be a slave will end up a slave. You know why? Because they've learned the mechanism of getting things done God's way. Teach your children too. It's a legacy. I know why it's a legacy. Timothy, remember? Say he has faith, like his mom. And the same faith was found in his grandmother. In other words, they've been able to pass faith from generation to generation. Some of us, parents passed on belief from generation to generation to us. Until we came into Christ and the Lord Jesus took out the veil. Make up your mind. Listen, things don't change because you're tired. He said, Lord, can't you see? You are not informing God. He knows everything. Please, leave him. Everything God is ever going to do for you, he's already done. You know how he did it? Hey. Okay. From Genesis, when man fell, man was shut out. All the angels were withdrawn to heaven, right? What happened next? Satan started running this world. So every time God wanted to do an assignment, he would send angels to the earth. Remember Jacob's ladder? And some of you are still camping around Jacob's ladder. Please forget about those portals you are looking for. They are all ministering spirits that have been sent forth. Are you following? Because some of you are thinking there's a position where there's a ladder, where there's traffic of angels from heaven to earth. They are all on earth. Every ministering spirit is on earth. They've been sent forth. Don't you understand it? You know when they came? That mighty rushing wind. That was their entrance into the earth. Because normally angels accompany the Spirit of God. And if you go to heaven now, you will not see the Spirit of God. I hope you know. He's already on earth. He's leading a band, a gang of beings called angels. They are already on earth. They are on the high sea. They are in the dark places. They are everywhere. Angels are everywhere. Question is, why is everywhere not okay? Because permission is required for their activity. That permission is lagadagaba shakatakalababaya. That is permission. That is permission. So when you say, they run. You know why? Because they've been waiting. They've been waiting all over the world, looking for a place where somebody will speak one tongue. One. You think it's going to be different for you? What made you so special? Even God. The earth was formless. The Spirit was moving. Nothing happened. So in your life, the Spirit is moving. Nothing is happening. Why? You are quiet. But when you wake up in the night with red eyes, for nothing you start shakataka lagababayas. Lagade, here lagababababayas. And then you keep pausing, la pepeti, ishalagababaya, la, la, la. They are moved into action swiftly. Some of you, your angels are in the gym. They are waiting, they are waiting, they are getting obese. Some people's angels are bloodstained because they've been fighting since. They are bloodstained. Some people's angels are bloodstained. Your own, they are fresh. And they are all ministering spirits. Sent forth already. On the day of Pentecost, they came to earth. They came. They've been here since then. And they will accompany us home. They are waiting to say yes, sir. God is not saying, if you say nothing, he does nothing. You know, it's not actually that he's even doing nothing. It's that what he's done will not accrue to you. is that my father sending me money in my account. And then I lie down in my room and I go like, man, how am I going to ever get money? Can you borrow me money? And then there's money already in my account. What am I supposed to do? Take my ATM, take my checkbook, take whatever it is that I use in the bank, get there, withdraw the money, use it. God, when he raised Jesus from the dead and released the spirit upon the earth, released everything with him. You can sit there and bawl, squall, cry all night. It doesn't change anything. Why? Because prayer doesn't make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. Before you come to God, you must believe that he is. You must believe. Because in the Bible, there were people that were not praying. They just had faith and they saw results. Are you joking? Jesus was passing by with the anointing. There was crowd touching him. Some were trying to do social GP. Say, we were with Jesus Christ of Nazareth yesterday. My covenant friend and brother. Well done. Well done. There was another woman that has been distressed for 12 years. She was not there for social GP nonsense. What she came there for was to collect something. She came there. She, you know what she did? She had hope that if I touch this man, I'll be healed. She kept saying to herself, until those words begin to fill her hope with substance called faith. The moment faith came, she touched. Jesus was going because one other man spoke something. He said, come and lay your hands on my daughter and she shall live. That is faith talking. He didn't say, maybe she will leave. And she will leave. Immediately, Jesus left what he was doing and followed the man. You know why? Because faith moves the ministry of Jesus. And as he was going, faith stopped him. Who touched me? That means faith directs and dictates the anointing. Are you following? The anointing may be present in this place this morning, but your faith is what makes the difference. Who touched me? Who touched me? And it's central to what I'm teaching this morning. That woman went to the uncomfortable place. Do you know? She was bleeding. By law, if she's caught, she's stoned to death. But faith drives you to the uncomfortable place. So she crawled there, touched it, and wanted to hide and run away. Jesus said, who touched me? That's why the Bible says she told him the whole truth. That means she had to risk her life and tell him, I was bleeding, sir, for 12 years. I spent everything I had. And while they were talking, a messenger came from Jairus' house. He said, your daughter now is dead. Why bother the master? What did he say? What did Jairus tell them? Nothing. Jesus answered immediately. He said, stop the fear. Believe only she shall live. Believe what you told me. The moment you hand your situation over to Jesus, he answers the doubters. He's the one that answered them. It was not Jairus anymore. The day you relinquish the duties of taking care of yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, he begins to answer the needs in your life. When they come speaking, he will be the one talking. That is why every time you have made a faith declaration, keep quiet. Jesus will not answer from there. Keep quiet. When you have released your faith on anything through the words of your mouth, make sure that faith is released only when substance has filled your hope. Yes. You know why? Because hope is in the future. Faith is now. When the substance comes, you know now I am rich. 2012, December, I knew. I was even in my father's house. I was lying down on the bed and I jumped out. I knew that I was rich. It was just a matter of time. Hallelujah. When your faith has spoken, if you have given a voice to your faith already, don't answer any doubter again. When they come with messages that the medicine is dead now. No. Jesus will answer. Jesus says, stop the fear, Jairus. Believe only and she shall live. Turned around and told the woman, my anointing has made you whole. No. He said, I knew that virtue, anointing, power left me. But he quickly said, it wasn't the power that left me that healed you. It was your faith that made you whole. So even if it was the anointing that healed you, they connect to his faith. And let me make a disclaimer. God does not heal you because you have faith. God heals you because he loves you. Your faith is only the connector. So settle the love talk with God. Know that he loves you. Bad boy, good boy, anyhow. Just know that he loves you. You know why? Because his love is too big for your sin. There are some of you that if you lie now, you think God's love is expended, it's finished. He can't love me anymore now. How? That love has finished. You have come to the end of the road. But your love, your mistakes are too small for God's love. The moment you come to understand that God loves me eternally, you will know that everything you are looking for is already provided for. And then your faith can make you. Every time God calls you, he does not call you into the known. He calls you into the unknown. He will always call you into the uncomfortable place. Always call you into the uncomfortable place. Moses was there, flexing. God called him. Which one concerned me and you? God called him. Abraham was doing well. God said, come out of your tent. Many of you are living in tents of your success already. Well, I am a millionaire already. I don't even know what that young boy is saying over there. Well, I am a doctor. I'm an engineer. I don't know what he's saying. You are in your tent, my brother. Come out. Come out and look. Come out and look. Victor called me yesterday. Yesterday was my birthday, and thank you for your show of love. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have love for you, okay? Every one of you. Hallelujah. He called me yesterday, and he was touching. He said, last year when I met you, sir, I had a dream for my life. But when I finish this, the amount I want to be earning. And then he said, sir, you kicked me out of it. And I did. Don't come and meet me with small dreams, though. If you love them so dearly, keep them. Don't meet me. If you meet me, those are your dreams. They'll be looking like chicken chain. You go home looking like this. Why am I like this in my life? Why am I like this in my life? Don't come and meet me with small dreams. Somebody will say, let me. I remember some of our classmates say, let's just finish this school and move to the next phase of our life. And his house job. So I'm thinking, is that the next phase? My God. My God. Pastor Peter is doing house job now. He knows how he lives. It's by faith this man lives. That's the difference between him and the rest, though. So then the next phase. Some of you say, what's the next phase of your life? When we graduate, we will look for work and start the next phase of our life. I don't understand what kind of faith you're talking about. Hallelujah. You have never made arrangements when you were in school to take off by faith. You know, take off. Take off. Everybody is running around something. He said, let's go and get a job in the bank. He said, how far with you now? I said, my brother, I'm working in the bank. One guy was showing up for me recently. That he now works in the bank. So, and he was driving a car. I said, oh, wow, glory to God. Glory to God. I had to buy you God. He said, glory to Habib Yugo, by the way. I said, glory to him, of course. Amen. But I could tell that he's trying to make comparison. I said, eh? You are making comparison with me? Sorry, yo. You don't know me at all. At all. You don't even have an idea. You know why? Because we are like icebergs. The mass is inside. It's not the tip you see. If you ever see me flying a jet, over 100 of them are in the soil. They're in the soil. They are in the soil. Why? Because we have learned to live on leftovers. And that's another uncomfortable place. Because once one small chicken chain starts coming to your hand, you start to neglect God. What are they talking about, this God self? Which one? Can't somebody just rest? You can't rest. You can't rest. Areas to go to the uncomfortable place. List them out. Faith and confession. I've said that already. Remember Mark 5, I've given that already. James chapter 3. God himself lives in the uncomfortable. How many of you know that God doesn't do comfort zone? Anything goes wrong, he knows exactly where to go. He calls light to shine out of darkness. You know, there are people that say that, you know, the Lord made the world out of nothing. God is so powerful.
Don't deceive me with your idea of God is so powerful and say lies. God did not make the world out of nothing. If he made the world out of nothing, the world would be nothing. Because there's a law. He made the world out of something, but something you can't see. Because you can't see, it doesn't mean it does not exist. The most powerful forces on earth are invisible. How many of you know that? As a matter of fact, the proof that you are vibrating good is that you go invisible. Those are these physics. You know the wave particulate nature of matter, right? In other words, if a matter can vibrate at a particular frequency above the light line, it will go invisible. It will become a wave. Are you following? So most of the waves that you know are actually particles. They have discovered, they now say that light has particles. Remember Planck's constant? Oh, man. Hallelujah. So if any particle can vibrate to the point where it crosses 3 × 10⁻⁸, right? Meters per second square. The moment it crosses it, it goes invisible. That is what angels are. That's why you can't see angels. They are here. You know why? Because they are running at a very fast rate. That's why you can give instruction to an angel here to go to the US and get something done. And then they'll go and do it and come back and be leaking out. While we are here, that's why you hear pastors saying they were praying for somebody here. The mother in the village got healed. Why? Because angels are traveling so fast. For you to be able to see them, they have to slow down. They have to slow down. So that you can't see them does not mean they are not with you. How do you know they are with you? God's word is sufficient. You don't need to see them to know. If you see them to know, you are like Thomas. And the faith of Thomas cannot claim the blessings of Abraham. Abraham's blessings are reserved for those that use Abraham's faith. You know what Abraham's faith is? That guy is a gangster. Abraham, Abraham, who against hope, only him believed in hope. You know, a friend of mine, Dr. Eddie, he said, why is Abraham this commended? And I explained it to him. I said, listen to me. Before Abraham believed for the resurrection of Isaac, there was no account of raising the dead in the Bible. Hebrews said that Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, even when there were no antecedents. That's pioneer faith. He has to be the father of our faith. This man has never seen the dead raised before. Only him sat down and reasoned that God could raise the dead. And then he went ahead, of course, without telling Sarah. If he tried it, Sarah will hide that boy. Are you playing? I told a young man recently, I said, listen to me. There are two kinds of decisions for you as a man. Emergency decisions, stay away from your wife. Long-term decisions like your money and financial management, listen to your wife, she will make you rich. But emergency, emotions will come. But a man, you can actually trample on the emotion and get your things done. You are just a rascal on it, that's all. I've always said this. I have a very big house. Very large house. Give the whole of the house to my wife and have me a penthouse for a study and rule the world from there. Don't be getting into talks about what food is available and what food is not available. During your wedding, don't concern yourself with colors. Guys, forget about it. They will get the colors. They'll go and find it. They'll Google it. They'll come and tell you that it's aqua something. Can you imagine me trying to push my money to another level? They are telling you about aquamarine. Oh God, talk your aquamarine. Give me the budget. That is what's important to me. Some of you are trying to argue with your wife. Don't you think aquamarine is too loud? It's not loud. It's your day. Oh God, come to your wedding, attending the wedding. I'll be bothering your head with what they are saying. They are right in that light. Don't argue with them. You will find out by the pictures. You know, they are so beautiful. Pictures are nice though. But if we left it to your dumb ideas, they are not going to be that nice. Then no. When was the last time our ladies here, they have Bella Niger somewhere? They are looking at Bella Niger. And you are not looking at Bella Niger. me, I'm looking at some wallets and master notes. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at master notes all over the place. And they are looking at Bella Naija, and then you come and you want to beat them to it in colors. Uncle, leave it. They know how it works. Is the blockchain working? That's what's in my mind. Hallelujah. So there are decisions. You don't go and mess yourself up. Papa Copeland was always coming to contribute to the house Gloria was building. Every time he came to contribute, something would go wrong. He said, Lord, why? God told him that the woman maketh her home. It's in the Bible. Leave them to build their house. Come and live in the house. What you need to do is to lay your hands on them and minister the house to them. You are the father in the place. That's why I don't marry a man that cannot minister things to you. Your husband should be somebody who's red-eyed. He will just tell them and say, honey, come here, kneel down. I've gotten it. Take it. Hey! Yes. I've gotten it. Come here. Kneel down. Kneel down. In the name of the Lord Jesus, take your house. You know how it is now? When you do that, immediately you do it. Burn and leave the place. Drop burn and turn around. And go to where you're going. She go down the power crying. That's all your business. Hallelujah. Minister the things they dream of. Our ladies are blessed to dream. Make sure it's a reality in their lives, guys. Make sure it's a reality. That's what we mean when we say you are the head of the home. It's not repeating it to your wife. You know I'm the head of this house. Not by repeating it. But you minister things to them. Minister it and go and rest. They come and meet you. Sometimes after you minister it, they don't even need to ask you for the money. Because you ministered both the house and the money to her in one ministration. In one laying on of hands. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying yourself this morning? Come and be looking and be saying, well, what is the house you are building like? I'll be trying to see if you can cut down the cement. My friend, your wife should even believe you. You know, that's what I was saying. The prerequisite for marriage is faith receipts. She should look at you and know that this one has something to offer me. Because you have faith in you. So on that day, when you call her to minister anything, I need a car. It's not okay, we'll believe God for the car. You go and take it yourself. You know why? Because it should be on your shoulder. You are the man. Hallelujah. It should be on your shoulders. It should be on your shoulders. The Bible says, let those that are strong bear the weak. And God calls them weaker vessels. So being strong, weaker vessels is not somebody to beat. Amen. It's somebody you can carry your faith muscles. They tell you, I like that car that I saw. You say, okay, no problem. I like it too. I think I like it too. We believe we receive it. She can jump. Then you go inside. You go and pray. On a certain day, come out with the power of God. Well, honey, about that car, come. It has come. Women by nature live a life of release. Don't think about yourself. They will give it to you. Hallelujah. Make them proud. Don't go and be doing arguments every day. Arguing over how much they buy rice. Rice. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go to the uncomfortable place. And the time to start is... It was yesterday. But what's the problem? Many of the guys are not learning to... They are still calling you boy. Say, boy, oh boy. What's up now? And then your baby is calling you baby. Baby. Say, oh baby, boo-boo. Baby? Baby of what? Baby of who? Hey. You look at my BS, you call me baby. He's not baby. He's not baby. Some of you be doing head like they are rubbing a baby, baby. There's no baby anywhere. There's no baby anywhere. There's no baby anywhere. There's no baby anywhere. Take responsibility now. Baby. 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 When I'm the one that moves most of the reps for you, how can I be baby? We move reps first hand. Yes, first hand. We go and listen to God deep and come back. Did you know that when Jesus said, after Mark 11, chapter 23, "Verily I say unto you, shall say unto this mountain, believe in your heart, say therefore I say unto you." In other words, the moment he moved the reps, he practiced it. Yes, he just moved it. He moved the reps in 23. He said, "Therefore, I say." That means, based on what I told you in 23, that's what "therefore" means, right? I now say. In other words, what makes verse 24 a valid point is verse 23. "He shall have," what's the concluding statement? "He shall have whatsoever I say. Therefore, I say unto you." What is whatever you desire when you pray? That means your the proof that when you pray, you receive. When you believe, and it shall be yours, is that there's verse 23 of chapter 11. So Jesus turned around and practiced it. Some of you guys, all you are still saying is unction to function. The refs, they move for you on campus. When you're 100 level, when the senior friend came, say, "You know, we need unction to function." You two, you go and have girl that you want to marry. Say, "You know, we need unction to function." And both of you were in that meeting that day. My dear, she will go and look for the source. Say, "Where did that rev even come from?" Because we're all together that day. You are still saying unction to function. To a woman that was there with you, the day they told you unction to function. Oh God, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go and listen to God your Father. God is not dumb. He's not mute. He will speak to you. As a matter of fact, he keeps speaking. How many of you know God always speaks? Always speaking. Always speaking. Bible says the Spirit of the Lord moved over the face of the world. That means you can never catch the Spirit sitting around. Spirit of God does not sit around. He doesn't sit. He's always moving. Movements of the Spirit, as we are here, is moving. He's moving. Some of you here, if you know what is, if you think your problem is indecision, by faith declare that I make good decisions and I stick by them. There's a Spirit moving to accomplish that word you speak. Go to the uncomfortable place in your faith and confession in prayer. In prayer, go to the uncomfortable place in prayer. Go to the uncomfortable place in giving, in doing God's instructions. Finally, God's instructions. So God told you to start a business. You know I'm going to go there. God told you to start something there. You are sitting down. You say, "We can't start because there is no capital. In this, the economy is bad. I called my uncle last week. He did not give me the capital he promised me last year." I have news for you. He will not give you that capital very soon. Except power comes on him by your confessions. Most times, he will release that money when you're on your way already. Are you following? Many of you, what you're waiting for is waiting for you in the deep. You know what the Bible says? That there are those that go to do business on the high sea. That they are the ones that see the wonders of our God in the deep. Wonders of our God is reserved for those that will go and do business on the high waters. Wonders of our God is not in your bedroom. It's not in your bedroom. People are running everywhere. They say politics is dirty. They are running out of the government house. Satan is running into the government house with speed. One of these days, when Satan is in the government house, he'll tell you when to go to church or not. Friend of mine called me. He's a medical doctor, he's a senior colleague. He called me and we spoke for nearly an hour on phone. I was talking to him. He was writing on his whiteboard in the place. He's coming out for a House of Reps member in Taraba State. Shagalagabaya. I told him, "Oga, good intention without power is paralysis. You are wasting your time." The guy could not. He said, "Sir, I'm writing now, please." He had to go and get his whiteboard together and start writing. And then he gave me an illustration. Awesome. Awesome. Remember Naboth? Have you ever read about Naboth or Naboth? One of them. The man that had a field at Jezebel that Ahab wanted to take. They sent to the man, Oga, give us the field. He said, no, this is my inheritance. I can't give it out. That means he was standing for a righteous cause. But he didn't have power to back his righteous cause. What happens? Fatality. But you go there. The man went to eat shit and he comes. And then he see your face like a lion. You are looking in the office. You are looking. He said, hey, good morning. How are you? He said, sir, I'm fine. Nothing. You go back. You know why? Because the truth of the matter is that in the world, in the theater of oppression in this world, power must meet power. You can't go and say, we are good people, we are Christians. No. Ask the ordained reverends that became governors in this country. They behaved as if they were not the people. And I'm talking about those that had very high moral fortitude. Why? Because it's not power that is corrupting, it's that place is a theater of oppression. And people that are coming, they are coming there from somewhere. You are the one that came and thought it's by, you say, no, if you do good, good will happen to you. Hey, okay. I don't need to explain that one to you. If you do good, good does not, is that the good? Say, good comes to those who do good. Hey, ask the American church. Ask them. Every little they say they'll take away their exempt status. Tax exempt status. So they can't, they'll start paying tax. They'll not be afraid. They say, okay, we can't talk against them. If you call an average American preacher to any TV station, first question they're asking, what's your stand on homosexuality? That's the first question they start asking. So they'll put fear. If the man says, they say you're homophobic, before you know, they'll say it doesn't go along with waiting. Why did that happen? Why did that happen? English speaking and scheduling. Everything is on schedule. You know, you got to keep your schedule in church. Keep the powers that be are the powers that have always been. It's just that some people were deceived into the flesh. How many of you know that place of oppression is not really in the shrine? How many people go to consult Babalao? But how many people are under the yoke of Satan? The devil does not need you to go and say, Babalao, no. Wear your suit. He will meet you in the bank. With his own suit. With his own suit. The Bible says this is Lucifer that has deceived the whole world. Deceived the whole world. They say it's progressive. I hear people talking nonsense. One doctor, like, she always talks anti-Trump. So I said, what's wrong with you people? What's wrong with you people? They say they're short students. They say they should pull strict gun laws. It's okay. Initially it looks okay. But that's not the solution. People are depraved in their mind. It's not a gun that kills people. It's people that kill people. If you don't fix it, a society that has children disobeying their parents and calling 911, that society does not need guns to kill children. So I asked them a few questions. I said, so who will fight for the children that are aborted? Because they don't have legs to match? How is pro-abortion different from pro-gun? Pills kill more children than guns. But you see how the society is. They choose the one that is convenient. They promote it. They know it's against the church. They know it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go to the uncomfortable place when God tells you to do anything. Go there. Start it out. Start it out. It's better you fail with the Lord and it's impossible than to stay in your house and do nothing. Learn to put the power of God to work. How then do I make up my mind to go to the uncomfortable place? Desire. Bible says true desire. A man having separated himself, he mixes and intermingles with all wisdom. You must separate yourself. Every day cannot be social. How? My birthday was yesterday. They say, hope you had a blast. I say, yes. So I should have been eating and drinking somewhere. Then I come and preach on the strength of the food this morning. Congratulations, eh? And I minister carnality to you. I say, you know, by exegesis, I'm just speaking this. Separate yourself. For days now, I don't go out. Thank God for one of my shorts like that. That's what I've been wearing. Wear the shorts and lie down in the house. pray in tongues, listen to messages over and over again, roll over, listen to another message, roll over again and listen to another message. Praise God. Why? Because this is serious. Your birthday is coming and then you are everywhere. You are everywhere. And then on the day of the birthday, they say, boo boo, say, come, let's go and do party. Boo boo, boo boo, boo boo, let's go. Boo boo, let's go to party. I organize you a party. Then you carry yourself, your trouser, and you go and do party on your birthday. Party should be in the evening. But the whole day should have sorted out things. What is the next phase of your life? Are you just growing chronologically? Or something is really changing? You must have true desire. Separate yourself. Leave them alone. They call, somebody come here and say, on your birthday, we tried reaching you, we couldn't reach you. I said, sir, it's not, apologies. Everybody that showed me love on Facebook, through calls, I'm answering them this evening. If they were upset yesterday, after I answer them, they'll be happy. But I couldn't take my whole time to spend on Facebook, checking who is congratulating me now. Am I even that important now to you? I'm angry. You did not congratulate me on my birthday. I will not talk to you again. Separate yourself. You are grown enough. The reason some of you, your parents are tossing you to and fro, is because they've not seen you separated before. My father knows me. We will come home for Christmas. I will take transport and go to Kwali. There's a place they call Alone with God in the place. I will take transport and go to Kwali. Where are you going? I'm going to Alone with God. I'll be back tomorrow evening. He said, okay, pray for us. I was still small. You know what I was? I was communicating a mindset of my value to them. It was not long. I came home one day. I laid down. I stood up. My father said, please, can I sleep where you slept? My own earthly father. He said, I've been believing God for something. Let me sleep where you slept. Came here to school. I called him one day. I said, Daddy, I saw in a vision that God gave you strange favor. He said, amen. On Monday, he went to the office. His boss called him, gave him $5,000. He sent me the tithe. You don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you are here. You say, my father. I was like 21 then. Some of you are here. Value. Some of you say, how can I run away from my father? We're not saying run away. We are saying, tell your father you're a man now. And you don't say that by being disobedient and rebellious. You say that by separation. When you speak, you should have weight. You even have no business with a girl if your father cannot respect you enough to tell you, have you gotten a girl? Are you following? I was barely in 400 level. My father said, show me your babe. Yes, my father is straightforward. Oh, yeah. But for another person, they say, if my father catch me and you, he will kill me. Grow up! Separate yourself! Separate yourself! First of all, sit down and desire what accrues to me. Go into the Bible. Listen to messages. Messages of people with expanded minds. Don't go and carry one message. The man is always saying that, let's go back to the old time religion where everybody is sitting on benches. Listen to messages of people with expanded minds. You know why? Because the gospel, if you allow the gospel, it will expand your mind. When God spoke to Abraham, he said, I will make you into a great nation. I will make you famous. Listen to such messages. When you listen, what happens to you is that desire, godly desire, starts to well up in you. Once those desires come, you separate yourself through this desire. And then you begin to intermingle with wisdom. Some of you, in your profession, you've never read a journal. All you depend on is what your professor told you and the training they gave you when you were starting work. Meanwhile, things are going on in that same field and you don't know about it. You don't know about it. You don't know about it. You start to dictate who employs you by your level of knowledge. Separate yourself. Read the Bible, pray in the Holy Ghost, listen to messages. Apart from that, get materials in secular world. Get business materials. I read all kinds of things. I'm telling you the truth. I read psychology materials like no tomorrow. How have they evolved over the years? Waiting. Some of them is legal materials. Hallelujah. Separate yourself, intermingle with wisdom. Don't allow the entire school system box you until you don't even have any option again. Hallelujah. Intermingle with all wisdom. When you've done this, let me tell you the effect. The effect is this. You begin to have what we call strong will. That is where you can go to the uncomfortable place. Because you know why? I'm reading Inc. magazine, INC. I'm reading Fast Company. I'm reading HBR, Harvard Business Review. I'm reading... What are these other magazines I buy again? I subscribe from the US. They bring some of them are as much as 6,000 naira for one a month. And there are about five of them. You know what I read? I read how a person will turn sweeping into a global business. Are you following? I read how this person will do this. I read how this person... And Like play. You start to imbibe that mindset. All of a sudden, you believe that you are crazy enough to change the world. Because according to my birthday mate, Steve Jobs, he said the world is actually changed by those that think they are crazy enough to change it. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, go to the uncomfortable place. Leave your comfort zone. God is waiting for you. Miracles are waiting for you. Blessings are waiting for you. In the uncomfortable place, say to them, I challenge you, make a decision to go to the uncomfortable place. Come on, give Jesus praise.
For more messages and information, log on to our website www.theembassyofheaven.org. Stay blessed.